is taken from Psalm 116. We'll read the whole psalm, Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surround me, and the pangs of Sheol lay hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted, I said in my haste. All men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious is the sight of the Lord. In the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord. Now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Then turn with me to our preaching text from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 7 to the end of the chapter. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and be present with us, with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and our minds. Amen.
Well, good morning. Glad you're here as we continue the series in 2 Corinthians we've been working through. Ministry in the Mess is the title of the series as we work our way through Paul's second letter to this church that caused him so much trouble and yet was dear to his heart. And we know Paul's theme is what the gospel looks like in the reality of the mess of our lives and the mess of this sinful world to which Jesus came to seek and save. And we remember that Paul planted this church dealing with problems in his first two letters he wrote with that, and then he had a painful letter that we have lost, a painful visit he made. We talked about, he mentioned to them, where he challenged them about their sinful attitude. And remember, Paul had received word, we'll see in chapter 7, from Titus, who visited them after that painful letter. And he found out things were going a bit better at the church, but that there were false teachers whose focus was on the grace plus law and rituals in order to be saved. These men had influenced the Corinthians to doubt Paul's gospel of grace through faith alone in Christ, and they said that he had not kept his word and not promoted the law the way he should, and they seemed to be accusing him of this, and he's taken away from the truth, they're saying, and how can you trust this man and his motives, that he's an apostle? And so last week we saw at the start of chapter 4 in 1 to 6, right before our text today, Paul answering these questions, and through that, we saw that he's giving us the mechanics of gospel ministry in the mess, a truly gospel-focused ministry centered on Jesus Christ. And Paul has been dealing with this issue, you see, of the emphasis these teachers, these false teachers, had on the glory of the law as the way to be saved versus the glory of the new covenant of grace that's in Jesus Christ through the gospel since back in chapter 3. Paul said, the law is holy, yes, it's good, but it's been surpassed and fulfilled by the glory that comes in Jesus Christ. Christ fulfills the law. He dies for sin, rises, and we're saved and forgiven as he lives in us, and the Holy Spirit makes that truth of Christ real in us. We rely on his Spirit. So the new covenant ministry of grace that we're seeing in this letter, that Jesus fulfills through his death and his resurrection so that we're forgiven, so we're set free by God's Spirit working in us and changing in us. That's the gospel, the true gospel Paul is getting across and wanting the Corinthians and us to see. So when we get to 4, 7-18 that we read today, Paul is getting to the crux of the matter. As we come to the famous part of this letter, the picture that we often see and talk about or hear, the central theme of the book, strength in weakness. Now, the treasure we know, we're going to talk about this today, is this gospel. It's what Paul's been describing already, that of Christ, the one who lives in us, who died and rose, and he forgives us and lives in us through the Spirit to change us, to give us grace and new life and assurance and victory. And that Paul's going to remind us today in this picture, we have that in the frailty of our human lives. And that God, in fact, does this purposefully. We know this is the core theme because Paul talked about it in a way back in chapter 1. God comforts us in our weakness, that we can comfort others. We rely on God, Paul said, not ourselves. He talks about it here in the middle of the letter, chapter 4, close to the middle, that we have the gospel working in earthen vessels. That's our lives. He's going to talk about it at the end of the book when God will tell him, I won't take away your thorn, you know, the thorn in the flesh, but he says, my grace is sufficient in your weakness. So we have this ministry for Christ, Paul has said, in the mess of our lives and in this world, as we trust in Christ alone to forgive us, and God works through our brokenness and our struggles, our relationships, to save us, change us, use us, and bring Christ to those around us. So Paul has told us we have that ministry in the mess of relationships, in struggles with difficult people, when we're misjudged, that we keep on trusting Christ who's leading us in the victory as we rely on him in our weaknesses, and the aroma, the knowledge of who God is in Christ, the truth of that will shine forth from our lives and what we say and in the way we live. So the ministry of the gospel, we saw Paul showed us, it has to aim for the hearts. It aims for the heart. It works from the inside out as the Spirit gives freedom. Where the Spirit is, the Lord gives freedom, he said, so that we grow as Christ lives in us. We know his forgiveness, we know his love and assurance, and we grow to love him. We have new desires for his law, a new love for his law, a love for his people. And the gospel matures us, we've seen, even in the mess of this world, as we behold Jesus in the Word. Especially, we become like him in character. From glory to glory, Paul said, we're changed, we're transformed. So, we saw last Sunday the gospel's methods that encourage us. We know this gospel God gives us is about his mercy working in our lives. We don't deserve it, but it's through God's creative power, the same power when God made the universe and he said, let there be light. That same power is at work through the gospel in an even greater way to transform the darkness of people's hearts and lives when they see who Jesus is. So as we're living out the gospel, Paul said, as we're sharing the gospel, God is at work. We remember this. Even though the enemy's at work, we know that through his truth, and as we live it out, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is shining in the face of Christ. The image of God is fully in Jesus Christ, and God's bringing his light into the lives of those who believe, bringing salvation, and for those of us that continue to trust him, sanctification and spiritual growth for those that believe. So God works through our weakness, as Paul said last week, as we preach Christ, not ourselves, and we preach ourselves as servants for Christ's sake. So our job is to keep the focus on Jesus Christ. That's Paul's point. Again, I hope we know that the gospel is not, we'll be good enough, right? Do the right things, be religious enough, have the right image, you know, all this. The gospel is Christ. It's that he is God's yes. That we rely on him totally as his Spirit lives in us. And we're open, we're vulnerable as we walk with him and point others to him. And what we see in 7 to 18 today are the motivations for that ministry. In the mess, the molding God does in our lives, shaping us so that Christ lives through jars of clay, our human lives. And we see this is key to doing all the other things we've talked about and other things in ministry in the mess. Whether it's comfort to others, whether it is showing Christ to difficult people that are confused, whether it's calling others to believe in Christ who are spiritually blind through evangelism, all of this, it is crucial in all that ministry we do to see what it means for Christ through the Spirit to live in and through us. Not to make us powerful, but to be powerful in our weakness. It's like a glove. We're the glove and the Spirit is the hand. And there's nothing we can do without the hand. What is the ultimate model, we see it today, we need for authentic gospel ministry as we rely on Christ alone, the Spirit living in us, working in our weaknesses? What is the ultimate model so that we grow to become Christ-like and God work through us as we then point people to the Savior? What are the motivations in this? What's the molding and shaping God does of Christ-like character in our weaknesses as we rub shoulders with new believers, as we reach to non-believers, as we preach and share the one true gospel of the Savior who lived perfectly, died and rose, and caused men to believe on him? What does that look like? What does it look like for that power of that gospel, that light of Christ and the truth to shine into the darkness, working through our weakness, through our lives? Paul said in verse 1 at top of chapter 4, don't lose heart, right? We have this ministry. He says the same thing in verse 16, doesn't he? Like bookends, right? Because today, he says, the inward man is being renewed from day by day. So we don't lose heart. What does this show us to encourage us? Because the gospel, it's all about the treasure of the gospel. What God's building in us and through us that will last for eternity. Number one thing here in verse 7 is the source. Rely on the gospel in you. The power. You see it on your outline. The first motivation we see involves the source of the power of the treasure, the gospel living in our lives. The first model we see involves relying on the gospel, God's power at Christ, in Christ, at work in us by grace, verse 7. And this is the heart of, going back to last week, of this ministry of God's mercy he talked about working in us to change us. Christ leading us in victory in our trial. As we rely on his love to save us by faith. The Spirit bringing freedom in us, working in us. We're beholding him, he said, and becoming like Jesus. As we preach him, as we serve him. That's ministry of mercy, he just said in 1-6. See, first Paul is showing us the power God gives us in the gospel to minister, to grow, to serve, to point people to Jesus. So the light of Christ changes us, shines through us. Look at verse 7. But, that's key, because it's pointing back to what he said in 1-6 especially, and even all leading up to that. But we have this treasure. Points back to what Paul just said especially, that we preach Christ, not ourselves. God's power shining into the darkness. The power of God who says, let there be light, shines into dark hearts. This is the treasure of the gospel that changes us and other lives. As we live out that gospel and share that gospel that is so amazing, that saves and forgives, so that the Spirit of God himself lives in a person, setting them free, giving them new hearts with God's love at work in them. It's like Paul in that is saying, let me remind you, let me encourage you. As you feel weak as a church, you feel weak in your Christian life, in your trials and your struggle with sin, your temptation, you feel ineffective, you look at the world around you, let me remind you, God's design is that this treasure of Christ is in jars of clay. Our human lives, earthen vessels. Stedman said, Paul is saying we are made to contain God. Our Creator designed us to correspond to His deity, His power and character poured out into us continually. Doug Kelly, my old professor, said the same Lord Jesus, the crucified and risen one, sends His Spirit to shine forth the glory of His resurrection life into the forgiven ones, Christians, who are in fellowship with Him forever. That's the treasure. The treasure of this gospel we need to remember is this gospel, the one Paul has been preaching about, telling us, not relying on the law to save you, because it can't, but that God's power is in Christ, who's God's yes and amen, chapter 120. The treasure is the truth of Jesus Christ, coming from heaven to earth, God as a human, in the weakness of a human body, living perfectly as a man, facing trials as he did himself, dying in love, dying to self in the ultimate way in love to pay for sin, and Christ rising over death to bring new light and new life as God shines the truth into the darkness. That's the treasures of Jesus who loves us so, who that those by faith alone he saves us. Right? And through the Spirit, He brings freedom into the lives of Christians. The treasure is our assurance in victory so that we grow in His love to become like Jesus Christ as we know more and more who God is in Christ and we know who we are saved to be in the face of Jesus Christ as we behold Him. This treasure is the one Jesus said. It's like a man finding a treasure. He finds it. He'll sell everything to get that treasure. The treasure of Jesus that He came alone, could alone come to do and has done. But again, here is Paul's point in this. He's been hinting at this throughout 2 Corinthians. This treasure is not placed in the perfect, supposedly put together lives of people who say they are Christians. Who pretend, you might say. Or want to try to pretend and think everything's all together and put up this certain image, right? The treasure is not seen in the believers who are the supposed perfect success stories and churches and right and all the ministries that are going so great and so impressive. And even the world could say, man, look at all that they are doing and so great. This treasure is not in the wow factor of the people that in the Corinthian culture, some of them would have wanted Paul to be like. And they said, Paul, you're not that. You don't have that wow factor. No, this treasure of the gospel is at work in our human jars of clay, in our human lives and weaknesses. Christ works only in the weakness of his people who first admit their need and continue to of him, and in the weaknesses, in the human jars of clay, Christ and the truth of who he is shines forth in our brokenness. These earthen vessels that Paul's using as an analogy here, by the way, back in that time, they were like even as much like our plastic Ziploc bags, our little disposable bags. That's the way these jars of clays were back then, like the disposable containers today we use, the fast food containers. They just use one up and throw it away. No one would take note, one man said, any more than they would of these of a fast food container. Other things were used, containers like metals of gold and even glass was used. They would reuse those containers. But these earthen jars might have cracks in them very easily. They were fragile. Once they broke, they threw them away usually. You could easily get another one. They didn't think much of it. I read that some of the people, maybe even that time, would have put valuables in these type of jars to fool a thief who wouldn't think to look in that cheap vessel, that container, that he could find anything worthwhile there. They were cheap. They were disposable. Paul's saying that's God's design. That's our human lives as Christians. That is what the Christian life will feel like at times as we're trusting in Christ, relying on him in this world. But God's design is that in the brokenness and weakness of our human existence as believers in Christ, in those very earthen vessels, that the power and the excellence of the power and the truth of who Christ is, his grace, will shine through. You see the balance here, don't you? Even the contrast that the gospel, this glorious treasure of Christ, God in us, never leaves us. He's writing his letter of love, Paul said earlier, in our hearts and through our lives. He's making himself more real to him, himself real to us. He's changing us. He's using us to preach the gospel, to point to people of who Jesus is. What a treasure! There's nothing like it. But the contrast is it's not in the vessels that people, Christians, might pretend to be or think that they are, but in jars of clay, in the reality of the mess of our lives, that God has put the treasure of Christ there to shine. And the weakness of the vessel, Paul is definitely saying, doesn't affect the power of the treasure. It's the other way around, if you're a true Christian. It's the power of God's treasure in Christ, the gospel, Christ in us, that makes us valuable, that saves us, that determines who we are and what we're becoming, and so that we're useful in the Master's hands. It's the treasure of his light in us, showing us who God is, that's making us who we are, who he saves us to be in Jesus Christ. That's God's treasure in weak vessels. God has made it this way for a purpose, his purpose, so that there'll be no mistake to ourselves or others that where the power, the source of life, flows from him, not us. This is what Paul's been showing us. He'll show us in chapter 12 at the end of the book that our weakness, it's our weakness that provides the ground for Christ's power and the gospel to shine through us, the treasure. Chapter 12, he'll say, God's grace is sufficient. Paul said, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses that the power of Christ might rest in me. Our power to be used by God to, of course, be changed. Our power to live for him never is in us, but in Christ. We're his vessels, vessels who are weak when we're honest about it. Yet in the brokenness of that, that's where the light of the gospel shines through. There's this singer, I don't know that much about him, you probably don't either, named Jelly Roll. He apparently was in jail, he came to Christ, and he shared it, I think the Grammys or something the other night, I don't know which one it was, but he's truly shared his love for the Lord. And he wrote this song or album, Beautifully Broken, and he talked about his love for Jesus and how that love of Christ for those that will believe. St. Francis was asked how he accomplished what he did in his life. He said, the Lord, I believe, looked at me from heaven, said, where can I find the weakest, littlest man on earth? He saw me, and I think he thought, I found him, and he won't be proud of it. See, Paul is saying, embrace the weaknesses. Don't hide them. Don't lie about them. But rely on Christ's power of grace, saving you, to change you, that who Christ is formed in you, and shines through you and I. This means we want others to know it's about Jesus. It's about His grace that saved us, is saving us, has made us to where we are, and will make us into what we're going to become. It's not about being religious in our own strength. This is not about God making us more powerful, but Christ in our weaknesses shining through in His power, us walking in His power in weakness as a way of life. This is about growing to know Jesus' power in and through us, growing in weakness to weakness, that we know all the power is from God. And then in that humility, God is able to use us. It doesn't mean God puts Christ in us, so we'll just say weak. I'm just weak. I just continue with this sin. No, He puts the treasure in us to change us. But the power to do that is Christ in us. We're the vessels where that gospel treasure shines out in us and is seen outwardly through us. They said the Reverend William Steele once preached a sermon, this pastor, many years ago. And in the middle of it, he apparently stopped. And in a loud voice, he cried out to Christians, "Christ is in you," and he's shouting, "I want out." See, Michelangelo apparently used to yell the artist at the sculpture, at the material, "Come out!" I read about artists that will look at a bunch of rock and whatever they're going to use, right, to make a sculpture, and they have the image. They're thinking of everything that needs to come off of that for the image to be there. In the ultimate way, God is doing that for us as Christians. He's chiseling, He's pruning, He's taking away those things. It's not easy, but those things that are not Christ-like, so that the treasure of the gospel of Jesus in you will come out and come out of me, and He'll change us. So it's all a part of God's design that His glory will be seen to the watching world. Number two thing here, remember God's plan for you. The suffering part, it's difficult, but look at verses 8 to 9. Second motivation I think we see here that points out the examples of suffering that believers go through, like Paul. The second model we see involves remembering God's plan as we face trials. Verses 8 to 9, look at this. Paul says there's a source of power as you grow and serve the treasure of the gospel working in your weaknesses, so it's clear, that's point one, that the power is from God. But in relying in His power in Christ, we must also, what? Remember His plan. God's got a plan in all the things we go through. Mason, this man said, God puts power in Christ in us, the clay vessels, first, but then He will put pressure on those vessels. That's verses 8 to 9. So God has a plan in all that we go through as we grow, as we serve in the Lord, becoming like Christ in this world, pointing people to Christ. And notice, all the verbs are present passive participle in the Greek here, meaning they are a present reality of what's happening, and it's happening to us, not by us. And it's continuous through this life. And this is what I think Paul's doing in 8 to 9. He's giving examples based on his own specific ministry that in a lot of ways we can't relate to, but that Christians have been able to relate to because we know what this feels like in the overall sense of experiencing these emotions. We may not be beaten like Paul was, imprisoned as Paul was, in the physical suffering Paul did, but if we live for Christ long enough and we go through this life seeking by faith to live for Him, to die to self, that the life of Christ will shine through, we are going to experience this feeling, aren't we? These parts of this. We're going to feel hard-pressed. We're going to feel pressured and squeezed from every angle. We're going to feel perplexed and confused. Even at times like we're struck down. As we live the Christian life, we do it in the jars of clay of the weakness of our human struggles and difficulties where we feel these ways at times. Attack, overwhelm, distress. The gospel ministry, the Christian life, as the treasure of Christ is lived in and through our weaknesses, as we live as servants of Christ in this world, we feel this way at times, beaten down in the weakness of our jars of clay. Stedman said we must experience the weakness to see the strength released. I think there's truth in that. We often want to know the power of God, but we don't want to deal with this. We don't want to be pressured. We don't want to be struggled and stressed out and all these things, right? We want the power in peace, but it doesn't work that way. He says we've got to trust the Lord in these things. And we don't get to go down the list and say, well, Lord, this week I'll pass on being persecuted, but I'll have one, as he says, sore pressed and two wits' ends. You know, we don't get to choose of these four things. or any of these things we go through. But I think Paul is giving examples of the Christian life as we live as jars of clay in the weakness of this world, as we feel hard pressed from every side at time. Perplexed, that means confused. We don't understand why it's happening. Persecuted by others. Attacked, struck down. But also in this is key, we reveal to others as we're trusting in the gospel, in Christ, the treasure of Christ in us, in those things, in jars of clay. God is upholding us in those things, changing us. Christians reveal the difference in this, that Christ, the treasure, is in us and more real than those struggles. And you see that here as Paul says, but not four times. You see it? We have this treasure in jars of clay. Yes, we're hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. The struggles we face in the Christian life perplex us. We ask why. We're confused. But we should never grow to the point of despair. Not because of us, but because of the treasure of the gospel in us. We face the attacks of life, don't we? But we shouldn't feel abandoned. No, the treasure of Christ, God, is in us. And we feel struck down, but we know we're not destroyed. See, all these are examples of how Paul and we experience the treasure of the gospel in the weakness of our human vessels, and then we express God's power as we trust Christ in the difference in the world around us. So what do we learn here? You see a few things there on the outline about this, I think, of God's plan through our suffering so that the treasure of the gospel shines forth. Number one, God gives us help. God's power. These subpoints here, under the pressure. As one man said, we feel squeezed from every direction, that first part, right? From every side. Sometimes, wouldn't we agree, we feel pressure from every direction as we try to follow the Lord, whether it's at home, at work, family, the struggles with people in the community, trying to live in this culture. As one superhero said, there are bad days, and then there are legendarily bad days. And sometimes, it feels, if it rains, it will pour. But the treasure is of Christ in us. We're pressured from every direction, but Christ is in us. He won't let it crush us totally. And the pressure will often point out the truth, as hard as it is, that Christ is real. God gives us hope, God's perspective in the trials. Yes, we feel perplexed, we feel overwhelmed, we feel confused. But as one man says, we feel confused, but we know we're not confounded. It means we feel confused at times. We ask God why. We don't know why this is happening, but because the treasure of Christ in us, we have hope. Help and God's hope. Apparently, Napoleon had no technique for dealing with defeat. He knew victory. But Paul knew how to deal with defeat. It's not him. It's Christ in us. The power of Christ renewing us, changing us from glory to glory. That power of Christ, the treasure in our jars of clay, giving us hope of the assurance of what we have in Him. That we know we don't understand why we go through what we do, but we continue to trust the Lord, and the treasure of Christ is producing hope in us so we don't despair, even though it can be so difficult. We're different from those around us in this world that will fall into despair, that don't know the Lord. God designs it so they will see that difference in us. While we face those problems and difficulties, we don't do it without hope. We grieve, but we don't grieve without hope. We continue to look to the Lord for wisdom. We count it all joy, as James says, because we know the testing of our faith produces endurance. God gives us three here, humility. God's presence in weakness. Yes, we're persecuted. And the word here is to be hunted down. Paul was hunted down. We don't know what that is, but we can feel alone, can't we, as Christians? In the world, with our friends, with people around us, in the culture, feel ostracized, isolated. But we know that no matter what we go through, we'll never be forsaken by God because Christ was forsaken for us. And He did that ultimately on the cross, and He died and He rose. But this teaches us humility. To know His presence with us as we deal with insults, as we deal with difficult people at work, and whatever the future holds, from the reaction of our faith, of the world to it, we trust Him. Number four, God gives us holding power. Perseverance to run. You see this? Yes, we feel struck down. It's a picture of a boxer beaten down in the ring of life. We feel that way. It, you know, as one man said, this is, we might feel knocked down, but we won't ever be knocked out. And we need to remember that. We know even the worst death will not destroy us, right? Because Jesus destroyed it. Yes, we get knocked down in our weaknesses, whether from others, from the world around us, our own sin, but the treasure of Christ empowers us, working in us so that we get up, so that we persevere. I think I can't help but think of Rocky in the movie of The Boxer, right, where his manager says, get up, Rock, get up, Rock. And the Spirit is working in us, telling us to get up, picking us back up so we'll persevere in Christ all the way to the end. But in all of these things, I want you to see, it's the picture of God's incredible strength in Christ, in us, in the midst of incredible weakness. So the power of the gospel, it shines through jars of clay. The ministry we have, our model is one of meekness, relying on Christ, that in our weaknesses, all those things that bring others down, the power of the gospel shines through. It wasn't, as Hugh said, that Paul just found the strength as a man, right? To pick himself up, right? Sucked it up and he became a man, right? He just was tough. No, it was God's strength, not Paul's. See, the amazing thing about those jars of clay back then is they were so fragile, they couldn't withstand any crushing. They just give in. But that's our lives, except for the fact that God has the treasure of Christ in us, working through us, to shape us, and show others the power of the gospel and who God is. Like a submarine, the pressure in you is greater than that outside of you. And I've seen that treasure at work, I believe, in my life at times, but also people in the church, especially through the years. Paul knew that power, didn't he? Where he could have easily given up. But that confidence came from Christ in him. Number three thing here. Refocus on God's person in you. The person of Jesus, the Savior, the Son. Look at 10 to 12. The third motivation points out the expression of the Savior's life. I think we see here where to give. The third model we see involves refocusing on God's person, who is Jesus, in 10 to 12. Now, Paul is focused on the source, the suffering, and now the Son, Jesus. What Paul, I believe, is doing is showing us how this treasure of the gospel placed in jars of clay in human weaknesses, our lives, how does it really reveal God's power? How does this work? As we face the trials of pressure, the persecution, the heartache, trusting Christ in the things of this life, as the jar of our life, the jars of clay, is broken, it is through that that the light of the truth of Christ, the aroma of Jesus, shines through the jar. In the dying of Jesus, the life of Jesus shines through, that others will see the treasure. So as one man said, where you are when you're broken is often where God wants to reveal Jesus. Where we're struggling might be where God wants to reveal who the Son really is in our lives. It's not easy, but we carry around the trials, as one man said, for the purpose of showing off Jesus. And you see, these four previous examples we saw, last point, are ways, not the only ways, but major ways, we carry the dying of Jesus around, that the life of Jesus will be seen through us. Point three, how does the gospel, the treasure of God in Christ in our weaknesses, transform us, motivate us to serve? How does the gospel work through us in ministry to really impact other people's lives, whether it's in evangelism or encouraging Christians, as we are focused on Jesus? Not only the power of Him in us, but following in the pattern of the dying of Jesus, so the life of Jesus will shine through. As we live the Christian life focused on Jesus in our weaknesses, in jars of clay, as we're dying to ourselves in our old ways, and we're in that process, then the life of Christ and all that we've been given, His resurrection life, shines through. We're changed, but the power of who Christ is shines through. So the word Paul uses here for dying, you see, in Greek, it's not the word that's focused on Jesus' death on the cross, actually. It includes that, but it's not really focused there. Only Jesus, we know, could do that. He alone, and has done this. He carried out the final perfect work of salvation. He died to self to give us His love in the ultimate sense. But the word dying here is referring to the wholeness of His life, the endurance of His life, and it's applying to the Christian now in the world leading up to His death and including His death on the cross. But it's referring to His long journey through suffering up to and including the cross, one man said. But it reminds us, for us as Christians, we walk empowered for the treasure in us, but walking in the pattern of Christ. Trials and endurance as we're trusting in Christ, following in the pattern of Jesus, carrying the dying of Jesus in our life over the long run, they're key to the gospel shining through us. This is how God works. Christ died that we might live. His life for ours, one man said. And this is how we're used in the gospel. When we embrace that pattern. When we embrace our dying to our old man and our selfishness so the life of Christ will change us and shine through us. That is the core principle of gospel ministry in a sense. Yes, we share the gospel, but as we live it out. So Jesus in His love died for us in the ultimate way, dying to self, to give us life, to give us eternal life. He rose to bring new life. And now if you're a Christian, you're united to Him so that now He lives in you through the Holy Spirit. But now we live our lives in these human jars of weakness, our bodies, and we're trusting in His power, but we're following in His pattern, the pattern of Jesus' suffering. We could never do what He did on the cross. But we follow in His pattern as we struggle through this life. We carry around in our human body the dying of Jesus. Jesus is the one who loved us perfectly, dying ultimately through His human perfect life and death and then resurrection. We are given eternal life and we walk out of that assurance. But we follow in His pattern. So God's treasure, the gospel power in us, shines as we're dying to self over the process of this life. We face struggles. We trust in Christ's power. We carry in our body the dying of Jesus. We say no to self. We follow in that. And as we do that, our broken lives, our jars of clay, allow the light of Jesus to shine forth that others will see Him. We do it that the life of Jesus will be manifested in our earthly lives. Look at verses 11 to 12. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. We might think, when Paul has said, you know, when he gets to verse 12, before that he said we suffer, we follow this pattern, that the life of Jesus may be seen in our human lives, right? As we walk through in our jars of clay. So death is at work in us, we think he might say, and life is at work in us. Is that what Paul says? No, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. I was reading about how bones can be broken, and then after that they can actually become stronger than they were before the healing. I don't know if that's true. We hope for that, right? But it's a picture, right? God, in the ultimate way, takes us, dying to ourselves, the power of Christ in us, so the life of Jesus changes us and makes us stronger in those areas where we were probably the most weakest when we trust Him. So His grace will shine through it all. The life of Jesus is seen in the dying we carry around in our body. Christ changes us in our character. So His grace shines forth. It's how God works through the gospel, the assurance of His love, seen more and more in our weaknesses. As we live for Him, dying to self, becoming Christ-like, serving, and doing it all for, what does he say? We do it all for Jesus' sake. George Mueller once, this Christian man, was asked about the impact he had for God, and he said, there was a day when I died. He said, the day when I died to George Mueller. This is when Christ really begins to shine through, isn't it? It's how he works. We go through difficulties. We rely on His power, following His pattern. We do it for Jesus' sake, knowing Christ is the ultimate, in the ultimate final way. He has done that, suffered to bring life to us and to others. We want His power to shine through our dying and our struggles and weakness so people will see that the power and the life is the one who gave His life and has risen and gives life to those that believe. We want Christians to grow to see that. We want non-Christians, of course, to come to believe in Jesus Christ. So we struggle through this life. We struggle through the weaknesses, but we want Christ's life to be shining through us to impact others. And folks, this is how God works in His church. As we as clay pots, you know, just a picture here, we rub it against each other, right? Not literally, but in our lives, right? In our brokenness and our weaknesses. But as we're trusting Christ in the church and loving and serving one another, the life of Jesus shines through one Christian to another Christian and through this Christian to that Christian, so that we grow to know the life of Jesus as we carry on the dying of Jesus. It's how, as we reach to the lost world around us, we live in the pattern of this struggle, trusting Christ, and Jesus' life is seen by those who need Him the most. So as we yield ourselves to our selfishness, one man said, or yield ourselves and have our selfishness broken, I should say, we have our lives canceled out. We experience to some level a little bit of what it means to follow the cross and the meaning of the cross. More and more, don't we, as we grow in that. And we take the gospel, as people have said, as dying men and women to men and women who are dying. That they'll know the life of Christ that's in Him alone. Number four, reflect the glory of God. This will be a brief point, but look at 13 to 15. This fourth motivation we can see here that's so key, this fourth model deals with the overall purpose of the church, the Christian life, as the gospel works in weakness. We reflect the glory of God. That's the model of God shining through us as jars of clay. We trust in Jesus, we live for Him, and we see His resurrection power at work in us. We see it in 13 to 15. There's the source of power we saw, the plan through the trials of suffering God uses, the person of Christ we want to shine through our dying and our dying to self. But in all of that, Paul's saying, the aim is to shine the glory of God, who He is, the glory of God in the knowledge of Christ. He's quoting Psalm 116 that we read a bit of that, where the psalmist there was struggling with people that attacked him, but he held up the cup of salvation. And Paul said, like the psalmist did, he said, I believe, therefore I speak. Paul says, we believe, I believe, therefore I speak. Paul says, this is our outlook. How much more should it be if it was true of the psalmist with faith then? We have the spirit of faith. This is our attitude. The Spirit lives in us now. As we trust Christ who's saving us, we have even more reason to look up to God in faith. Even more reason to look out to the world around us, that the light of Jesus will shine through us. Why? Paul here is starting to point us to where he's going to go in chapter 5. The future guarantees we have of this gospel. The point is, the gospel gives us such assurance, it must affect us now. And the point is, all of these things are heading to the point for those of us as believers where we, when we look to the future, we know that all that matters in our life when we get to that day is that our lives have been lived for Jesus. That His power in the gospel worked in our lives and shone through our weakness. All that matters on that day will be the life of Jesus has shone forth in the death of our life to ourselves, and who He is has been lived out through us to the glory of God. And it's true for those of us that God wants to reach, isn't it? So this is what Paul is saying. He's looking at the big picture here. The bigness of God's glory, the amazingness of what God's doing in the church, and all these people coming to faith in Christ, being presented before God at the end of time. And that's why Paul is bold now. And he speaks, because he believes. And that's what we have to do. Not because he's strong in himself. Oh no. But by faith. The spirit of faith. So all these things we're going through and others who come to Jesus are for God's good. Or for our good and for God's glory. And all of this is happening by the resurrection power of Christ as we're changed. And we live the gospel, preach it, people come to Christ, that more and more people will come to know God. And in their lives now, they'll honor God. But in the end one day, the ultimate sense, and we're to grow in this, there's a thankfulness and there's a glory that goes to God. And that leads me finally as we close to 16 to 18. Look here, we don't want to miss this, and we'll hit more of this in the next chapter, but recall God's goal with you. Look at what he talks about here, our sanctification. The final motivation we see to live as clay pots, trusting Jesus in our weaknesses, it's focused on where Paul's going. our eternal future, living in view of this. Now, verse 16, he repeats what he said in verse 1. We mentioned that. That he said, don't lose heart in verse 1 because of the ministry of mercy we have now in this life. Verse 16, he says, the focus is inward. It's on eternity also. It's what God is doing in us, in the treasure of the gospel growing in us, that will never fade away. So recall the goal, Paul's saying. Keep the big picture in mind, the eternal view. He says, yes, the old man. Don't we look at our lives, the old self. God has given us a new creation in Christ, but we have this old self and the effects of sin we struggle with. And we see the effects of that in our struggles with sin, in our weak bodies. We feel as we age, and we age, and we lose our bounce, as we say, right? And the things we once had, we don't feel like we can do it anymore, right? We feel it, yes. But the inner man, the new man in Christ, the treasure of the gospel in our jars of clay, it is growing stronger day by day. As we look to who we are in God's Word, as He said, beholding Jesus in the Word, we remember that goal. God is making us to become like Jesus from stage to stage, as He said in chapter 3. There the focus was a bit more on the growth in this world, progressively. Verse 16 is more focused, you see, on what that growth God's doing through Christ in us is going to mean for all eternity as He's renewing us day by day. And one day He'll finish the job. As we hear the Word, as we reflect on it, as we see Jesus, God is renewing us. What we look around in our lives at, we can get discouraged by. What we see going on in the world, right, will bring us down often at times. We have to live in it, right? But if our focus is on that, and in our problems, and even our weaknesses, and what our human lives struggle with, if we're focused there, we're going to often be discouraged, Paul says. That's why we don't lose heart. Why? Serving God in ministry because of what God is doing that is eternal through the treasure in us and is done internally that it can only be seen by eyes of faith, as he's going to say later. Paul says this light affliction, come on, Paul. A light affliction, what you went through, Paul? I mean, more than most of us will ever dream of or could think of, right? But he says, it's slight, it's light in comparison to what God is doing in Christ in us through the treasure of the gospel changing us that's going on will glorify God. God is using all those things for an eternal weight of glory in the Christian that far, it says super abounds, far surpasses even the things that we go through in this life that, yes, Paul is not downing or knocking that those things are hard or doubting it. But the reality is, in comparison to it, it's like a drop in the bucket, Paul saying. He uses the word kabod for glory here, meaning heavy. Putting what we go through now, it's like you put what we're going through now on the scale next to what God is building for us, even through our trials for all eternity. And it would knock it straight up off the scales out into the galaxy if you put them next to each other. It doesn't take away from what we're going through, but Paul is giving us perspective. He compares the light trials of this life to the heavy glory of Christ, the momentary times of trial in this life to what God is doing in Christ for all eternity. And again, as we close, the point is, put your focus less and less on what you see, Paul says, because what you see is temporary. But what you don't see is eternal. God's treasure in Christ, working in His people and others who come to Christ. We get focused on the things that we see around us, and even this world as it is isn't going to be this way. It won't last. The things we have to have, I know we have to have them, we do, don't we? But those material things, they won't last. The things we get caught up in, the things we get worked up about, what is going to last? Not those things, the things we see, but what God's doing in Christ through the gospel in us, in others, as we preach it, as we evangelize. Paul says, remember the goal, the big picture. We'll close with this. You know, the Australian bug, the cicada, I think I'm saying that right. I don't know where they live in Australia, but they have this exoskeleton that will grow over many years all around the insect as it's growing over a number of years, and eventually that just completely comes off, and the life of what that insect is supposed to be flies away. Now, it's a bit of a picture. They fall short pictures. But, you know, what God's doing in us now, using all these things, it's for something that's coming that we can't only imagine. But we need to have our focus there, don't we? The treasure of the gospel as he grows in us, Christ in us, and we bring glory to God, and we know we'll do that for eternity. Let's look to him now as we close in a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we go through this life, Lord, we know that as we deal with trials and difficulties in different ways, Lord, it is easy to say it, Lord, but when we face it, Lord, it's hard, Lord, but may the eternal perspective of all we have in Jesus Christ give us hope and comfort. Lord, may we focus more and more not on the things that we see, even though we have to live there, Lord, but to focus on your word, the things that we can't see, Lord, that we see with eyes of faith, what you're doing in us in Christ to make us like you, and what you're doing in others' lives, Lord, and what you have planned for us for all eternity, Lord, that eye has not seen and ear has not heard. All that we have in the gospel in Christ. May it encourage us, Lord, as we grow and serve you, that the life of Jesus will be seen through us in our jars of clay. And we give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen.